Great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
In the studio to talk about For Pete's Sake, going on in Spring Green this very weekend, celebrating 20 years. In the studio with us, Todd Miller and Gene Ault. We'll introduce you to John Bagges and Sandra Schwartz as well in the studio to talk about their story. And first of all, we'll start with Todd. He's a veteran of this program. And good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for having us back, Phil.
I know you do a lot of hard work, 365 days a year. This is kind of the culmination Sunday in the park, isn't it?
Yeah, this is kind of crunch time. So we're dealing with making sure everything's set for Sunday and just dealing with all of the unpredictable things that come up with that, which is why Jean is here. She keeps the list.
She's your backup.
You betcha.
Well, it looks like you're going to hit a home run with weather. I hate to even talk about it, but it looks like it's going to be pretty nice.
I know, but that stays away. I haven't seen a forecast that's good for more than 24 hours lately.
If that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Todd, maybe you could give us a little history of For Pete's Sake as you celebrate 20 years this year.
Well, in 2004, there was a young man named Peter Greenwood, and he had cancer in his leg, and he lost most of one leg below the knee, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Is that correct?
From the knee down.
Yeah. And so he was very athletic, and he wanted to have an athletic prosthetic leg, which was very expensive. So we came up with a figure of roughly $40,000 to $45,000. And so a number of fundraisers started happening, and it culminated with the For Pete's Sake Day in the park for the first time. And so that's why it's called For Pete's Sake. And it Peter is living in Canada now with his wife, if I'm correct.
His wife and two children.
And two children.
Two young boys.
Yeah.
He was just in Spring Green this last week, and I ran into him, and they're doing great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But he has to be proud that this organization exists, and it's named in his honor, isn't he?
Yeah, I think
so. Well, yeah. And because we had raised enough money to get that prosthetic leg, and we had negotiated for it and everything else, there was some money left over. And we thought, well, maybe we can just keep going, because the intention of this was to help people with medical issues. And if we're taking care of Peter, then what can we do next? And that eventually grew to where, what, you know, it's not a competition of like one person wins. You know, it's how many people apply, what can we do to help effectively, and we'll see how we go. And sometimes that's seven recipients in one funding round, and sometimes it's one or two.
How many do you have this year then?
This year for the spring, we have two recipients that are on their second round of funding, which is the maximum allowed. And if we do okay at the day in the park and the golf outing, which is coming up in September, then we'll hopefully have a fall funding round. We started that about 14 years ago. Because we have our funding round and we have a deadline and we do our interviews and we make our spending decisions, and then the money's gone. But we always have the money in the bank for the commitment that we make. And so then a month later, somebody comes up with some horrible circumstance. And do you wait a year to do that, or do you try to divide it up a little bit? And so that's been the intent of having two funding rounds.
So you mentioned interview process. These people, that people come to you and nominate them, or how does that work? How are you aware of that?
Well, people apply, and there's, I think it's a 6-page application, and it gives us some idea of their financial status and of their medical history. And then the committee sits down and talks with folks for about 20 minutes, so we get a chance to meet each other and ask questions and stuff. And then if we decide that we're going to fund someone, then we get verification from a medical provider that this is in fact a condition, because there was one incident several years ago where someone shaved their head and said they had cancer, and they didn't have cancer at all. So, well, we got our money back from that.
You have to be careful then.
We have to be prudent, you know, mm-hmm. and the community has entrusted us to spend these funds in the way that we've described, and our board is all unpaid volunteers. You know, nobody's making any money off of this, and the recipients aren't getting rich, but they're getting by, and it's buying them a little bit of time. And sometimes it helps them to get back on their feet. Sometimes it allows them to pass with maybe a little more dignity than if they had not had any assistance from For Pete's Sake. So, and we do what we do what we can. You know, the focus is there shelter? Is there food? Is there transportation? Can you get to the doctor? Then there's the medical bills. And sometimes that requires some negotiation, because medical billing is an art of deception. So and we'll leave it at that. You know, there's lots of great healthcare providers out there, but the whole billing system is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So
You've learned over the years, too, that some have gotten back on their feet. I'm sure they've been able to come back and give back a little bit then as a result, haven't they?
Yes, in some cases they have. I think right now, out of the 119 households that we've assisted, we know that 24 of our recipients have passed away. So, but you know, the majority of them are still alive, and some of them been able to go back to work or shifted into retirement, but they're in a better place because of For Pete's Sake and this community, including Richland Center, it has been incredibly generous. And so we've been able to distribute over $1.4 million in assistance to 119 different households. And since I've signed every check, sometimes I'm just like, good grief. I had, you know, yeah, because it's a significant amount of money. But the way that it dribbles in, and then, you know, there's like this 2-week period in August around now where things really boost up, but we don't have solid fundraisers to continue to raise money as the year goes on. And if we did, then we would probably take applications on a monthly basis. But we just don't have enough fundraising mechanisms to do that.
You serve those within the boundaries of the River Valley School District, is that correct?
Yeah, you have to be a resident of the River Valley School District, and you have to have a medically related need. So, and that has usually worked out all right.
That's a big area. I mean, land-wise, yes. You cover yes. a lot of ground, don't you?
It is, and I'm not sure of the count. I think it's somewhere around 12,000 people. So when you figure 119 households and 12,000 people, I think it's had a big impact on the community. So
Most definitely. The big event is coming up on Sunday, and I think a lot of things going on, but I think the first thing that I look at is lots of music, lots of good sounds on Sunday.
There's lots of music. We start out kind of mellow at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we build it up a little bit. There's some jazz. There's a band called Violet Palms, which has just all originals. Sugar Mama and the Rent Check is just old-time rock and roll, of which I'm part of. So that's kind of my favorite band on here. and then we have speeches and a raffle drawing from 5 to 5:30. And then the Solstice Jazz Band finishes the evening. And then, as kind of out of the blue, the Slowpoke Lounge and Cabaret downtown is a very popular music venue. And there's a fellow named Eric Tesmer who is playing, who you may be familiar with.
Absolutely, from Richland Center,
yeah.
Actually.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he has decided to donate all of his proceeds from ticket sales to For Pete's Sake. And so if people still have some energy after they've spent the afternoon in the park, then they can go down to the Polk at 5:30 and enjoy a show at 7:30, and it'll be helping For Pete's Sake as well. So we're very grateful that's happening.
That's an awesome draw. He was named the number one guitarist in Austin, Texas a few years ago. Look him up if you, mm-hmm. you're not aware of him.
I got to get down there and see him, because I've missed him when he's been playing in the area. But yeah, I've heard nothing but good things.
It's a real cool for the area and For Pete's Sake. Let's bring John into the conversation.
Sure.
We would. John Badges, who is in the other end of the room here. And John, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little about your story, John.
I came to America in 1975, so it was a great trip. The blizzard of 75 landed in O'Hare Airport with my family. It was my mom, my dad, and my sister. And we came from Yugoslavia, a country that doesn't exist anymore. And so we won what they consider there would be the lottery. And I had an aunt and uncle here, so we won the lottery. So we had social securities, visas and everything, and work papers back in Yugoslavia before we even got onto the plane. As soon as we came to America, within a year, my father, he really busted his butt and got a house in Chicago. And I went to school in Chicago for about 6-7 years until we moved out to the suburbs. And within 6 years, we were American citizens. We were sworn in. And, I worked in Chicago as a union plaster, ornamental plaster restoration specialist for everything in downtown, Lyric Opera, theaters, old hotels, and stuff like that. So I worked there for 30 years until basically my body started to give out from the construction. And and then me and Sandra, we had moved out to Spring Green because she had breast cancer. So we moved out for UW, and then I was going through certain things. I have a rare keratoconus problem, which we've had a heck of a time just finding somebody to work on it, because it's very rare where most keratoconus, the eyes deteriorate the same. Mine do not. So I'm legally blind in the right eye and sort of low vision in the left. And we can't even find anybody to do possibly in-tech surgery on it. I've already had two surgeries, but so we've been sort of going through just nothing but running around trying to find doctors. Then I got colon cancer. Then they were checking for a giant seroma that developed 4 months after the colon cancer, which then they found I had two large, very large, ping pong size like nodules on the kidneys. So then the half of the right kidney got removed, I've got everything from osteoarthritis, severe in the knees, the back, the shoulders, hips, and my spine. Let's see what else. I mean, there's just literally congestive heart failure. That's a slow one. But, you know, other than that, I feel fine.
Man, you get up in the morning with a smile on your face, though, right?
You have to. Yeah. You know, not always, not until after I take about 6 or 7 pills. Oh. But, you know, just to be able to get up because of the pain. But I get shoulder injections, and my knees just got treated with, it's where they burn, what is that called?
Thermal ablation,
where they burn the nerve endings. So they're getting destroyed more, but I can't feel it as bad. So, you know, I would just take it day by day. And I did try to file for disability. So working for 30 years in a union construction, never had an issue. I mean, worked everywhere. When I filed for disability, they told me I didn't exist in the system. Well, when I became a U.S. citizen, they went ahead and I changed my name from Janosch to John. Well, Social Security never made those changes when I got sworn in. And so Social Security doesn't really care who you are. They collect the money, and it's based on a number. So when I went to file, nothing matched, so they red flagged it. And so I, after 40 years, I had to come up with original documents to show that I belong in this country. Otherwise, they said I had nothing. And that's been going on for 3 years, and I still don't have a decision.
Uh-huh. If you were in your home country, the country you're born, things would be a lot different, wouldn't they?
Well, it was a communist country. It was run by a guy named Marshal Tito, who let people, you know, do what they wanted in the country. It wasn't a full communist type country, but you were taken care of. So when you got old, and that's why coming to where I'm at now, you know, our country back then, you get taken care of by the government. You know, whether you're working or not or whatever. Here, you know, you have all these different rules. So I never got to realize in that school, they never really taught you about, you know, retirement. They do now. But, you know, and all the money that we did save up in the last 3 years has been gone. And if it wasn't for Pete's sake, we probably would have been homeless about a year ago.
Living in Illinois as you did, and you moved out to the Spring Green area, you probably couldn't fathom the way there's a support network here in the rural areas, could you?
Well, we moved out because the place that we were living at was a nice area, but we were getting lots of shootings, and this is Fox Lake area, which is a very posh, you know, fairly expensive area, and just right down the street, you know, there were shootings, there was bodies found, there was, you know, all kinds of violence. So that's why when we decided to move up here, it was very different to see that, you know, people here care about people. Back there, you know, our thing was every Monday, everyone sits down and watches the news to see how many shootings there were in Chicago. You know, and here we moved out, and I said, we're watching, you know, Monday news, and it's the corn report and the farm report, and, you know, and it's stuff like that. So it was a huge adjustment, you know, growing up from Chicago to coming out here.
You know. Did you meet people right away when you moved out here?
Yeah, we started to meet people, and then we got a little more involved, and then my doctor is the one that I was going to, who was treating me for all this, who finally said, you know, she's like, you know, we were telling her about this whole thing about Social Security, and she's like, you know, you really, because she helps for Pete's sakes every year, and she says, you know, you really need to look online and get possibly involved with them, because I just told her, I said, we're at our last, you know, our last dime, literally, and we don't know really what we're going to do if this doesn't come through. And it didn't come through, but for Pete's sakes, did come through. So it's really been a rough ride.
You can speak firsthand about why, you know, For Pete's Sake is so important to the area, can't you?
It is, and it's the local people. It has nothing to do with government. It's just people that, you know, that basically live in similar houses that we do and do the everything and have the same problems we do. I mean, Todd has health issues himself, and yet he's still doing this for people, you know. That's a lot of dedication. And that's where I think the towns like Richland Center and Spring Green, they do have a lot of dedication to the people around them.
Sounds like the aches and pains you go through, probably not even as bad as, you know, banging your head against the wall as you have against trying to get Social Security straightened up and medical insurance and, you know, kind of the government and everything. It seems like that's been a lot of hoops to jump through, John.
It's been nothing but... I had lawyers for the disability and stuff, and they gave me bad information that screwed things up even more. And then they got paid, and then they decided, you know what, we've gone as far as we could. We don't want to go any farther. Well, yeah, you guys got paid $6,000 to do almost nothing. And then now, you know, we're stuck holding the bag trying to figure out what to do, and it's just... I don't know. I guess sometimes you get disgusted with the system because it's way too much red tape. And we don't look at what people need. We look at, you know, did you do this or did you, you don't qualify because of this. And it's like, Sandra just got like, I think $20 in her disability because she's disabled because of a bad car accident. And for $20 a month that they gave her, she's now jumped into this bracket where she has to pay $400 extra for her medical. Yeah. And it's like, so you give me $20, but you're going to hit me with $400. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. And the system needs to be revamped.
No doubt. We'll bring you into the conversation, Sandra. Anything you'd like to add of what John has said so far?
Well, sure. I mean, the first I want to say is I was very overwhelmed by what Gene and Todd were saying because, you know, here they raised this money for this young man who needed a prosthesis. And they came up with the money and, you know, hooray, they did it. And they could have stopped. You know, they didn't have to go on. And that they've done it for 20 years is just, it's amazing. Thank you. I really appreciate it. When we moved up here, I had just had breast cancer surgery and needed to start radiation. We had been looking for a home that we could own instead of rent in Illinois, and there really wasn't anything there that we could afford. So we decided to start looking in Wisconsin, and we found our beautiful home up here in Spring Green, and I walked through it, and I said, this is it, and I cried like a baby because I'm going to be 130 miles from my grandkids and my family. So we're making that work, but we closed on the house on a Friday, and I started my radiation on a Monday. So, I mean, we've really, since we've been here, just had one thing going on after another. And also, For Pete's Sake, was so gracious to help us with gas money so I could go see my grandbabies. I just thought that was just the most beautiful thing that they cared even about that. So...
Yeah, part of it is having a positive attitude when you're recovering and, you know, continuing on your cancer journey. And right. Something like that really helps you, I think, along
it
the way.
Does.
Doesn't it does.
And moving up here where we didn't know anybody and being so self-absorbed and involved in healing and then, you know, jumping right in with John. And I knew there was something wrong with his eyes when we moved. And we were driving to La Crosse probably one time a week, if not more. I mean, the gas money was just astronomical. But he had to have the cornea surgeries, and then the cancer started and everything. So it was really hard for us to kind of network in with people. But slowly we've been doing it and getting on our feet. So
you've had to be a part of the support network for John as well as going through your own thing. How difficult is that?
It was rough. I mean, it's when there's a shift in your relationship, it's difficult. But I try to be patient and kind.
She needs a lot of patience.
I try. So, I mean, you just take it one day at a time. And I tell them, I have to have a break. I need to go to some thrift shop and just look at everything. I just need to go shopping.
Clear your mind.
Yeah. So I just take a drive. But no, we're managing. And if it wasn't for Pete's sake, we would not have that peace of mind right now. And that's the most important thing.
Unfortunately, you learned a lot about medical terms and different ailments and things like that.
I was in the medical profession before that. I knew when I was reading test results, whether it was good or bad, or what to share with him, what to wait for his doctor to share with him. So you do. You learn a lot.
John, are you able to drive or not?
Keratoconus is the irregular surface of the eye, so seeing farther, I passed a test and I can, it's okay. I just can't see, like, I have to get pretty close to a sign to read it, but, you know, I know where I am. But the big thing is I work on like woodworking just to try to keep busy, and that's the hardest thing because I can't see small graduations of measurements on like scales and stuff like that. So I have to work with like using a slide, one of those slide rulers, you know, that I can lock, and then I take it over to the saw, and I did take a chunk out of it last week. So
not good.
No. But it does every now and then happen. But I try to keep busy with making like hardwood projects.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. Do you sell some of those works?
Up to here, because of the family, they've wanted stuff, so it's been gifts. But I also wanted to, get sort of make it higher quality and one-off stuff so that it's not what everybody else is doing out there. So I try to make it. You're never going to see anything probably like it or something. So different colors, hardwoods, South Africa, South American woods and stuff like that. So one of the pieces that I just donated, you know, was three boards and a steampunk. I didn't even know what steampunk was 2 months ago. But an epoxy steampunk, which caught a jewelry box, that I think is pretty beautiful, and it's done with some exotic woods from South America and steampunk epoxy, and I think if people look at it online, I think they'd be pretty impressed at a guy that can't see very well, does stuff like that, and that just keeps me busy because I tried like socking and it doesn't work. It just brings you deeper into depression, and everything just seems to be doom and gloom, so I have to keep busy and get up and do something. And sometimes I do take a couple of days off because my shoulders hurt, knees hurt, whatever. Can't see. I do have bad days with the eyes where it's literally just blurry. So those are my no-saw days. If I didn't have that, I would probably, be in really bad shape, because last year I was it January this year? It just everything seemed to have gone wrong and was in really, really bad shape mentally with just, is this even worth it? I'm getting up every morning taking pills. We're away from the kids and the grandkids. Just nothing but bad news every time you look around. And, you start to think, like, I don't know, is this really worth it?
I can understand that. Yeah, that's not easy. But things like this, they put a smile on your face for Pete's sake, right?
Yeah, it does. And it was, but Sandra's going to be doing stuff for their bake sale. And again, I provided four pieces to them, and it's not something like, oh my God, it's incredible, but it is just my way of appreciating everything that they do. And saying thank you for not only me, but I mean, everybody else in the community that, that they help and that helps us and some of the, people that they provide help for.
That's awesome you're giving back. We're going to take a time out and come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the event coming up this weekend in Spring Green. For Pete's Sake, our subject today on The Morning Show.
$5 per month. But hurry, this offer ends September 30th. Get details now at btussle.com. That's btussel.com. Your neighbor has Bug Tussle. You should too.
Need extra money for the holidays? The House on the Rock attraction, located between Dodgeville and Spring Green, is hiring. They have part-time and 40-hour seasonal positions available in the gift shop, tour buildings, and admission area. Join the team and enjoy the festive season while earning extra cash. Apply now by calling 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or print an application at thehouseontherock.com. That's 608-935-3639, extension 1201. Make your holidays brighter with the House on the Rock.
Sunshine and Giggles has the philosophy that children learn through play. Sunshine and Giggles staff will strive to develop a stimulating, inviting classroom atmosphere in which children are free to explore and learn at their own pace. Sunshine and Giggles Child Care Center is now enrolling children 6 weeks to 12 years. For more information, please call 608-649-5501. Sunshine and Giggles in Richland Center.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
A news update today is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast includes a high in the mid to upper 70s today with off and on showers, a few of which could be heavy later in the day. Right now in Richland Center, with the temperature at 67 degrees, we have picked up a little over 13 one-hundredths of an inch of rain today.
Is it time to buy a new mattress? Many factors can affect the quality of your sleep, and there are no foolproof indicators when you need a new mattress. Hi, this is Andrea from Court and Main Furniture and Mattress in downtown Richland Center. We've designed the perfect showroom for your sleep needs. Here at Court and Main, our sleep recipe is support, comfort, and durability at a fair price. So stop in and have a look and feel for yourself. Visit Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, located at 172 West Court Street in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Governor Tony Evers is urging a federal judge not to make any changes at Wisconsin's youth prison after a counselor was killed during a fight there. Pressure has been mounting to give Lincoln Hills Copper Lake school staff more leeway in punishing incarcerated children since a 16-year-old boy was accused of killing counselor Corey Prolix during a fistfight in June. But a 2018 federal consent decree restricts actions counselors can take against the youth incarcerated at the facility. Republican lawmakers have been pressuring Department of Corrections officials to ask a federal judge in Madison to ease the restrictions. An employee of the Democratic National Committee has filed a complaint seeking to remove the Green Party's presidential candidate from the ballot in Wisconsin. The complaint filed Wednesday argues that the party is ineligible. It's the latest move by the DNC to block third-party candidates from the ballot. Democrats are also seeking to stop independent Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in several states. The Green Party's appearance on the presidential ballot could make a difference in swing state Wisconsin, where four of the past six presidential elections have been decided by between 5,700 and fewer than 23,000 votes. The complaint asks the Wisconsin Election Commission to take it up at an August 27th meeting. During a Wednesday stop in the Wausau area, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers provided reaction to Tuesday's statewide referendum results, which saw both Republican-authored constitutional amendments fail. Evers said it's good news no matter which political party is in power, because it means needed federal funds will get out the door in a timely fashion. The Democratic governor having the ability to use federal money in a smart way is critically important, and that adding the legislature to the process could be a problem. He cited a recent deadlock between his administration and Republicans in the legislature over funding for PFAS mitigation funding that's been tied up for more than a year. Had the questions passed, legislative oversight would have been required before any new federal dollars could be distributed. Supporters said that would give some taxpayers a say in the process, while opponents questioned the wisdom of adding another gatekeeper to the process.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde took questions at a WISP politics luncheon in Madison on Wednesday. Hovde said he wants abortion put before voters at the state level. He said Wisconsinites need to resolve the issue with a, quote, common sense and compassionate approach to a woman that is in that tough spot. Hovde said abortion should be put to a referendum. He also said a federal abortion ban will never happen and that the majority of pregnancies are now terminated with medication. Hovde also pushed back against Democrats' accusations that he's from California. He said he's never been a resident of California and that Democrats have spent $5 or $6 million telling people he is because he's been successful and bought a bank in California. Hovde is suing multiple TV stations and a Democratic PAC over an ad that makes accusations, including that he is a California banker. Hovde also responded to a comment made earlier this year by former House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, who said Donald Trump lacks the character to be president. Hovde said he's supporting Trump and that regardless of whether you like him personally or not, the outcomes of the policies and the performance of this country under his presidency versus Joe Biden's is night and day different. A man accused of hate crimes for disrupting a UW-Madison student meeting last fall has been formally charged. 20-year-old Lucas Novak faces four charges, including making terrorist threats and disorderly conduct with a dangerous weapon. He is accused of being one of three men who entered the Humanities Building in November of 2023 and threatened the participants inside. All three were quickly identified with the help of the FBI and tips from the community. None of them were UW-Madison students or staff. Novak is banned from campus as a part of this bail agreement. The Walk with Grace wrap-up meeting will be held tonight at 6 o'clock at the Grace office located above Royal Bank in Richland Center. All committee members, team members, and the community are encouraged to attend to share what they felt went well and what changes they would like to see for next year's walk. The plan to lay off 32 tenured faculty members at UW-Milwaukee is moving ahead. Chancellor Mark Monet, announced the effort as part of a major restructuring effort. The proposed cuts include closing the College of General Studies and its branch campuses, including the one in Waukesha. The plan still requires approval from the UW Board of Regents before implementation. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days has officially kicked off in Chippewa County. The Farming Equipment Expo is being hosted at the Chippewa Valley Music Festival grounds in Cadott and will be open from 9 until 4 every day. The event will feature over 400 vendors displaying some of the latest technology in farming and connecting with other industry professionals. Tickets are for sale at the gate. New research shows nearly 40 million members of Gen Z are eligible to vote in this upcoming presidential election. 8 million of them are first-time voters. The research from Tufts University also says that nearly half of those eligible voters represent people of color. A professor of political science at UW-Madison says Democrats are trying to motivate Gen Z members to get to the polls now more than ever. He also says that Gen Z tends to learn more liberal than any other generation. The mobile food pantry scheduled for today at Eagle School has been canceled. There is no makeup date scheduled for the rest of this month. And an important reminder that due to the impending weather expected for the area, the Village of Reedstown Village Picnic has been rescheduled for Tuesday. And an Impact Life blood drive will be held today from 10 until 3 at Richland Hospital Pippin Hall. Appointments are appreciated but not required. To make your appointment, call Impact Life at 800-747-5401 or visit bloodcenter.org. Welcome to TriStar Gifts and More, where every gift tells a story. Whether you're shopping for a special occasion or just because, the selection of adorable and quirky items is sure to bring a smile to your face. Explore their wide range of candles, metal art, and more. Come experience a warm and welcoming atmosphere at 1651 U.S. Highway 14 East, next to Dunkin' Donuts, Richland Center. Call them at 608-383-1280. TriStar Gifts and More, unique gifts and home decor that make every moment special. The forecast for today calls for a high in the mid to upper 70s. With off and on rain showers, a few could be heavy later in the day. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, humid and mild, a low of 65. Clouds to a few peaks of sunshine Friday and a high of 81. Friday night, scattered showers tapering off and a low of 62. Sunshine and mild Saturday, a high of 79. In Richland Center this morning, after the midnight reading of 68 degrees, we've been down to the current reading of 67. It has stayed very warm in the night following yesterday's 84. Nearly a tenth of an inch of rain fell last night. And this morning, with off and on showers, we're at 13 one-hundredths of an inch. Again, it is 67 degrees.
Looking for something fun to do this Friday night? Join us at the Friday Night Market on August 16th from 4:30 to 8:30 at the Richland Center Depot on Seminary Street, right by Quick Trip. Enjoy live music by Ann Christopher while you browse an amazing selection of local vendors. Grab some delicious food from Capel's Cuisine and Los Amigos. There's something for everyone. It's free to attend, so bring a chair and make it an evening to remember. See you at the Friday Night Market.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at a Brewer win, an impressive one last night against the Dodgers. And the Badgers have named their starting quarterback for the season.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. The Hometown and Baseball Night League playoffs continue tonight, and the section finals will be played on Sunday. Many teams around the area will be hitting the scrimmages in the area coming up on Friday night, several involving our area high school football teams. And Church League softball resumes tonight with one game slated for the East Diamond at Kroska Park. 7:30 tonight, St. Mary's will play Church of the Nazarene and the Mission will umpire. Championship Tuesday night is next week at Kroska Park. Only one Brewer run was earned in Wednesday night's 5-4 win at American Family Field. Milwaukee took advantage of three errors by the Los Angeles Dodgers. The winning run scored in the bottom of the seventh when Jackson Churio looped a single to right. Base runner Joey Ortiz was going to stop at third but came around to score when the Dodgers right fielder Mookie Betts misplayed the ball. Well, Piamps got the win in relief and closer Devin Williams claimed his second save.
I mean, I don't know if there's a better 1-2-3 in the league, you know. It was definitely a good test. Passed it today. You know, might have to do it again tomorrow.
Devin Williams, he was able to strike out the top part of the Dodger order and do it in order as he retired Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman in order in the ninth to preserve the Brewers' 5-4 victory. The same two teams will wrap it up today. The Dodgers will be taking to the mound with Jack Flaherty, and Tobias Myers goes for the Brewers. That is a 1:10 first pitch time. Elsewhere in baseball from yesterday, San Diego 8-2 over Pittsburgh, Arizona 11, Colorado 4. It was the Cardinals losing to Cincinnati. That final score, 9-2. Philadelphia 9-5 over Miami, Atlanta 13, San Francisco 2. In the American League, Kansas City 4, Minnesota 1. Texas 9-7 over Boston, Detroit 3, Seattle 2. Houston 2-1 over Tampa Bay, the Yankees 10, White Sox 2. Toronto 9-2 over the Angels. Interleague play, Baltimore 4-1 over Washington, Cleveland 6, the Cubs 1, and the Mets 9-1 over Oakland. Transfer quarterback Tyler Van Dyke has been named the starter for the Badgers to begin the 2024 college football season. Offensive coordinator Phil Longo made the announcement on Wednesday.
I will tell you that Braden Locke, last year it was Tanner Mordecai, and the number two was Braden Locke. This year it's Tyler Van Dyke, and we really see Braden Locke. I mentioned to you in the past how much better he's gotten this year. You know, and as Fick says, we kind of see it as a 1A, 1B type situation right now as opposed to a 1 and a 2. That's how well Braden has done here in camp. But right, as of right now, Tyler Van Dyke is our starter.
Longo says Van Dyke and Braden Locke are more like 1A and 1B. It will be a challenging position for either quarterback because Wisconsin faces one of the toughest schedules in the country. It begins August 30th at home against the Western Michigan Broncos. And Vikings rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy will miss the season after undergoing surgery on his right knee. McCarthy had an operation on Wednesday to repair a torn meniscus suffered at home during the preseason debut against Las Vegas. That's an update on sports. Ever wondered if it's too late to become physically active? At Simon's Recreation Complex, they believe you're never too old to exercise. More and more older adults are proving this every day. Before you start, remember to take some precautions. Check with your doctor before beginning any exercise program. Start slow. Don't try to do too much too fast. Choose activities that are fun and suit your needs. Wear comfortable clothing and footwear. And always take time to warm up and cool down. Stretch slowly to avoid injuries. John Bages and Sandra Schwartz, Gene Ault, Todd Miller in the studio talking about For Pete's Sake today on the morning show. Todd, it's back to you. You're it. There are a lot of things going on this weekend in Spring Green. Yeah, but let's talk about some of the things in the order of events.
Well, we've talked about the bands that are going to be playing. So we've got music from 11 until 6:30. And the speeches and the raffle drawing from 5 to 5:30 p.m. But at 8 a.m. in the ball field shelter, you can register for the rum walk or the ride, which is either 15K or 30K, or the pickleball tournament, which Gene can explain, but I am ignorant about pickleball. So,
are you the expert, Gene?
She is.
Oh, okay.
Well, not exactly. I play, but I'm not an expert. So we're having a pickleball tournament starting at 8 a.m., and you can still register for it. We can't give out T-shirts anymore because that order has gone in, but you can still register up until the day of the event. And our pickleball courts are new as of a year ago or so, a year and a half. And we have three courts, and we will have a round-robin tournament.
Awesome.
That morning. We had one last year that brought in a few people. This year, we, I think, have 13 teams registered, double teams registered for this year.
Is the registration closed then?
No, you can still register.
Good.
You just won't get a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So the registration is on our website if people want to go to that. And, yeah. It was a lot of fun, and the people running it are excited about this year.
And then you have another run walk coming up at 9. Is that the case then?
The run, yeah. So registration is available at 8 a.m., and, of course, you can go online at any time and register as well. But the run walk and the ride take off at 9 a.m. The pickleball tournament goes for a while. I'm not really sure how long.
It depends on... No end time.
And then while that's going on, we're getting set up in the pavilion for the silent auction, making sure there's chairs and tables in the tent, getting the sound equipment in place for all of that. So, again, the music starts at 11. The food will be available at around 11. The Lions take care of preparing that. The KCs take care of beverages. And we've got Culver's Custard and a brownie.
It's from Simply Rooted. Culver's don't provide the ice cream anymore.
Well, you forgot to correct this on the press release.
I probably did.
And I missed it. So, but anyway, we have a brownie stand. We've got a kids area, which is very popular, and we're upgrading that this year. So Cardinal was very generous in helping to sponsor that. And we have a new volunteer who's organizing it. So you pay $5 for a wristband, and your kid can participate in everything that's in there. And we've lowered the price partly because of Culver's. But essentially, parents can sit down and relax and their kids can have fun and everybody's happy. So there is a cakewalk where people have donated baked goods, and that's been very popular.
And Sandra's baked goods will be in the cakewalk.
Yes.
We can attest to the fact she's an excellent baker. She brought us treats for a meeting.
And I might have to do the cakewalk just to be able to get some of Sandra's stuff because it's good.
It'll be worth it, huh?
Yeah. And then, of course, we have a raffle. So the raffle has a number of different prizes. Tickets will be on sale until 5 p.m. that day. And we will do a raffle drawing by 5:30. But we kind of mix the speeches in with the raffle drawing. We have a silent auction, which has a variety of items. They generally come in the last few days, which drives the volunteer who is in charge of this absolutely crazy, but she's maintained herself so far, not quit. So that'll cut off at 4:30, so people will be able to pick up their stuff and pay for it, and then still sit down and enjoy the speeches and the raffle drawing. Other than that, am I missing something, Jane?
I don't think so.
Okay. So donations can be made online at forpetesake.com, and that is spelled out numeral 4, PETESAKE.com. If you would prefer to mail in a check, you can send that to P.O. Box 577 in Spring Green, 53588. And, of course, if you want more information and you want to see all of the different applications and stuff, that's all up at www.forpetesake.com.
Any more about some of the items that you'll be auctioning off or the silent auction and things like that? Do you have some really good things from the area?
We have a paddle board.
This is the raffle.
This is the raffle. You asked about the raffle.
Either
or. Yeah. So the raffle, we have a... inflatable paddleboard worth $1,000 value. We have a $500 Visa gift card donated by People's Community Bank. Two $250 gift cards to Prem Meats in Spring Green. A solo stove bonfire, which is one of those stoves that you can sit on your patio.
Those are nice.
A gas stove that you can set on your patio.
Yeah.
And then a $300 cash anonymous donation, a $200 cash donation, and a set of pickleball paddles.
Okay.
So those are our prizes for the raffle.
So if you win the raffle, you have your choice?
No, we'll pick out a ticket for each one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, we pull the first ticket. That's the grand prize winner. But we don't announce it until the end. So we, you know, it took us about 5 years to be told the correct way to do a raffle drawing. So
got to follow the rules.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, apparently there are rules. Mm-hmm. So.
And the silent auction, you can bid on those throughout the day then until 4:30, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have information on some of the items. I know John's cutting boards and the jewelry box for sure. And I know there's a rocking chair.
There's three rocking chairs.
Three rocking chairs.
There may be more furniture coming.
Okay.
But again, you know, and God bless them, the people are donating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of nice to have stuff a little sooner than later. So
we always have gift certificates for various places around town also. But I really can't give you specifics as to what's going to be there this year.
Sounds like a good array of stuff, though.
Yes. Oh, yep. Yes. It always is.
And it's all at Veterans Park in Spring Green.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is North Park.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, it was renamed Veterans Park this last year when they put in the Veterans Memorial. That's located near the swimming pool, which is where the pavilion is, where we'll be. But it always was North Park, and now it's Veterans Park because of the Veterans Memorial.
Yeah, very good. And do you have like a little stage there set up for the music then, Todd?
Yeah, we have a stage. It was built by a volunteer from APT who's in the set shop. So that's held up really well over the years. And it's about 20 by 15. So it can fit everybody from a single person to a 25-piece band like the Solstice Jazz Band. So it's been very handy. And then we hire a professional sound person to run the sound because it gets complicated as you understand, I'm sure.
I do. So, that's a big enough stage for you to do the flying V kick, though, when you're playing your songs out there, right? With your
Well, yeah, and if I was 25 again, maybe. But
when Sugar Mama and the Rent Check take the stage, then, right?
Yeah.
So that's your group. Tell us a little bit more about those baked goods, Sandra. You've got to figure it out, your menu, what you're going to do.
Well, pretty much. I'm making some triple chip cookies and some brownies and banana bread and maybe something else. I'm not sure yet. Baking has always been a hobby of mine. I've quit making it a hobby of eating everything I bake. So I love to make it and give it away.
Sure.
So, yeah.
See the joy on someone else's face when they get it.
Yeah, share the joy for sure. Yeah, and the calories.
And it's amazing at these auctions. Those are the kind of things that seem to go better than, you know, sometimes material things, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I remember when I was a little girl in West Virginia, my dad was from West Virginia, and they actually have the cakewalk numbers in the sidewalk. And I won a cake at the cakewalk. I was so excited. I was maybe 5. And so I was really excited to hear they were having a cakewalk. You know, that's so...
The kids love it.
Yeah. Oh, I bet they do.
To be a part of it. That's the thing. You know, kids are welcome. And you mentioned lots of kids' games and things all day. They're not going to get bored.
No, they aren't. No, we have a jumpy house, a jumpy castle, and then another one that has a slide, a jumpy house with a slide. So, yes, the kids can keep busy. All day long
on Sunday. Yeah. John, we've kind of left you out for the second half here, but anything you'd like to add from our conversation today?
Well, me and Sandra will be there, you know, just hanging out on Sunday. And again, it's just we don't really even know how to express our appreciation for not only for Pete's sakes, but basically everybody in the community, you know, with Richland Center and Spring Green and stuff, for not just helping us, but we know others that are in the same situation that they have helped, that, you know, it's an incredible thing. And a lot of people don't understand how much it does help, because we were literally on the doorsteps of what are we going to do. So, you know, it's just an incredible thing. And, you know, like Sandra gets emotional, I do too, but I do it in privacy. And but it is you just can't even, you know, put in words, you know, when you can't make a bill. And I did very well for 30 years. I worked in construction and owned a company and everything. So we had a pretty good nest egg. It was all gone. You know, when you start getting into medical bills and you start getting into everything else, when it goes bad, it doesn't take long for it to go. And then when you're looking at never being in a situation to where I don't even think I've ever even collected unemployment, and then all of a sudden you can't even pay a $150 electric bill. So when Pete, for Pete's sake, came along, it is a huge, huge, you know, not only a relief, but it just makes you think, like, you know, they're doing a lot of good for a lot of people.
That's why it's important for all of us, because we never know when we might be the one, how quickly life can change, John.
Yeah, exactly. When Sandra found out, I mean, we lived in, you know, it was a nice place. We lived on the water in Fox Lake. We had a boat. We had a pier. We had, you know, everything that the kids came out. We went boating on weekends and had big barbecues. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go within 3 years to both of us having cancer. I had it, you know, twice. And then all of a sudden, you can't make these little bills. And before, you know, you had everything. I mean, everything, you know, I had the American dream. And then all of a sudden, within 3 years, you're in the, you know, the American nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you think some of your health issues could have come from your line of work then through the years?
A lot of it did. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it did, you know, working outside and in the cold, and the osteoarthritis just getting constantly worse and worse. And, you know, I need knee replacement, hip replacement, and shoulder replacement. But I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a little chubby, and I got to get my weight down before they'll go ahead and do that. And I have been working on it, and I have lost an incredible amount, but I still have a ways to go. And, you know, it's really been a rough trip.
You're going to be the bionic man, though, someday, it sounds like.
I don't know if it's bionic. I tell my kids I'll maybe be $250,000 man with some of these surgeries, you know.
Or more, unfortunately, right? The thing about where you lived before, though, again, sometimes, you know, in the bigger cities, and I have family members that live there, too, they don't know whether the next-door neighbor has cancer or they're going through a tough time, and they're not going to bring a pie over to them or a meal or anything, are they?
We didn't even know our neighbors. Mm-hmm. I mean, we rarely ever talked to them, you know. I go to my sister still. She still lives there, and they don't know any of their neighbors, you know, and it's like they don't really know their community. And, you know, just in 3 years, we've gotten more attached to this community.